Hi, this is Graham Roberts, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mickey Hazard, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast. Stop them. No one can stop them. We're going to do it like we did last year.
Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Wednesday, the 1st of May, 2013. I'm Steve. We got Colin in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Cole?
Yeah, doing good, mate. Doing good.
Great. And we got a special guest. We got Gemma Stubbles. How are you doing, Gemma?
I'm good, thanks, Steve.
And we've got you on, Gemma, because I work with your mum, who's a massive Spurs fan. You're all Spurs fans in your household. But me and Cole are extremely jealous because you've got some stories to tell us about meeting some Spurs players. And we're not talking fringe players. We're talking fantastic Spurs players. You play for Spurs at the moment. Gemma, tell us the story. So you went to a special day or something. Is that right?
Yeah, I went to the One Hotspur Christmas party in December at the Lane.
Yeah, so who was there?
The likes of, like, Lennon, Bale.
Yeah. And were they nice?
Yeah, they were really, really nice.
What, even Lennon? Because I've heard he can be a bit of a strop bag.
Yeah, he was quite nice. He didn't really... He was the one that didn't say much, though.
Oh, he's quiet lad. All right.
he's a bit like me, Steve. He's very shy.
Yeah, right. what about Gareth Bale? Was he a nice guy?
Yeah, Gareth was really nice.
So you spoke
to him. He was, like, really friendly.
Was AVB there?
Yeah, AVB was there, and he came and did a question and answer with us.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. And what sort of things were you asking him or was being asked?
Because it was Christmas, we had to do asking Christmas-related questions.
Oh, okay.
So I asked him, what did he have for Christmas dinner? And he said he had steak.
Did he? You knew that, Carl, wasn't it? Bit of steak for Christmas?
Bit of steak. No turkey for me.
Now, there's one particular highlight of your day, which your mum told me about. Tell us about that, when you played, because you had to go round and the different footballers were doing different things, weren't they? And there was a particular thing that happened with Sandro, is that right?
Yeah, well, I was playing Elefun with Sandro.
And if anybody knows what that game is, or if anybody doesn't know, Google it. It's great, great fun. I've got it for my little boy and the girls play it. It's great fun, but I couldn't imagine this 6-foot-tall Brazilian who does kung fu or whatever he does, playing Sandro, playing Elefam. So I must be hilarious. Who won?
Sandro.
Did he? I thought he was competitive, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But good fun, yeah?
Yeah, it was really good night. Really lucky.
Oh, fantastic. You got some good pictures as well.
Yeah, I got pictures with all the players.
Oh, I'm so jealous. What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, really jealous, Gemma. I actually noticed on your Facebook, because obviously you're on our Facebook page, that you've got a great picture of you with Sandro playing the game. What I'll do, I'll get a picture of that and I'll get it up on our Facebook page once the show's out so everybody can see you playing the game there with Sandro.
Oh, great. Thank you.
No brilliant. Problem. All right, Gemma, is there anything you want to ask us?
Do you think Spurs will get top four? And if so, do you think Bale will stay?
God, what a question. Cole, you can go for that one.
Oh, thanks, mate. I knew you would do that. after our performance against Wigan on Saturday, I would have probably definitely said no, that we won't finish top four. But look, I've come round. I've settled down since then, which we'll go into in the show. But look, I think we can maybe still do it, Gemma, and I definitely think Gareth Bale will stay. I honestly don't think he's going to leave. I think, you know, we've still got another good year to save him, and hopefully he can help us, you know, attract some new players in.
Yeah. What do you think, Gemma?
I think they'll do it the hard way, as usual, and it will come down to the last game of the season.
See, Gemma knows her stuff. I tell you what, Gemma, you know a lot more than some of the listeners to this show. That is brilliant. What a summing up. And the same next year and the same the year after. Always do it the Spurs right at the last minute. Brilliant. Who's your favourite player then, Gemma?
Defoe or Bale.
Okay, all right. Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. And got any more questions there, Carl?
No, I think everybody will be delighted to hear Gemma. What age are you, Gemma?
Pardon, sorry?
What age are you?
How old are you?
I'm 12, but I'm 13 in a few days.
Yeah.
Great. Well, look, I'm sure everybody will be delighted to hear you on the show. And it's great to see that a young Spurs fan knows about, you know, the traditional Spurs ways of always making it difficult. So you may get used to it, Gemma. You've probably got another 30 years of it as well.
Yeah, now that's brilliant, Gemma. All right, say hello to your mum for me.
Yeah, I will.
All right, lovely. Thanks. Speak to you later then.
See ya.
Thanks.
Bye.
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 See, Carl? She was absolutely fantastic, wasn't she?
She was absolutely brilliant. And you could hear the excitement in her voice, you know, of, you know, how lucky has she been to have got the White Hart Lane and to speak to Steve. I think she was maybe a bit more excited about meeting those first team players, Steve.
Can you imagine? I mean, that is just, how good is that then? They were all there. Because normally these sort of things you hear, you know, maybe Sigurdsson turns up, some of the younger guys, and, you know, one or two, you know, like Gary Mabbott or someone like that, you know, someone who, you know, cares about the club. But actually for these guys to go along to that sort of thing, the top stars, yeah, it's fantastic. It's great to hear. And I tell you what, I think we should get some more youngsters on because I love the questions they ask. It's like right to the point, isn't it? None of this sort of psychological stuff and, you know, what about the training methods and, you know, is it right that we play on a Tuesday afternoon or, you know, all this sort of, you know, rubbish. It's just like, will we get top four and will Bale stay? You know, that's good stuff to talk about. Brilliant. So brilliant. Gemma, you are a superstar. So well done. We'll definitely have you on again.
Definitely. And I'm going to see if I can get to that Christmas party this year. I wouldn't mind going and playing a few games.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Right. Let's get into it then. What we'll do. We'll have a chat about the Wigan game. We got a poem coming up. We'll do a bit of fantasy football. Then we can talk about the Bale winning the PFA Player of the Year and what people have said about that. So that could be good. Little Robbo rant coming up from me. And then we'll talk about the Southampton game. So let's kick into it then. What are your thoughts on the Wigan game?
Well, you know, as anybody that's on our Facebook page will have noticed, I put a bit of a strong post up on the page just really at the end of the game. I actually put it up just before the equaliser went in. And, you know, I'm not going to beat about the bush tonight, Steve. Really, really, I was so angry. Really, I was raging by the result on Saturday. And even whenever we equalised, I found it hard to celebrate. And, you know, it was the kind of game that I've seen so many times, you know, that Spurs just go and they just let us down. And I just couldn't believe it. And I'm absolutely got it. I'm starting to come around now. Obviously, it's been a few days. But, you know, I just want to put out there, you know, every week we're always trying to be positive on the show. But, you know, we're all Spurs fans. You know, we all get upset about things. And I would say genuinely about 90% of the listeners maybe on here or on our Facebook page felt exactly the same as me. Felt like if we can't beat Wigan, that's it. It's over. You know, what chance have we got of going and beating the likes of Chelsea? But, you know, the life of a Spurs fan, you know, comes around after a couple of days. Man United went and got a good draw against Arsenal. Probably should have beat them. And then you start to look at the fixtures that Chelsea have. So, look, we're still in it, but just got it, mate. And I think the biggest thing that annoyed me, Steve, about the Wigan game was that we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, there was changes made to the team. And, you know,
a few old favourites coming back. Defoe, yeah. Huddleston.
You know, Benny being dropped, you know, to play Kyle Naughton on the left back, I couldn't get my head around. Thought Benny had quite a good game for us against City. But, you know, really, when we look at the second half, Spurs done nothing until about, you know, 1 minute before, you know, about the 89th minute onwards. Hmm. And then they actually tried to win it. And that's what annoyed me and frustrated me more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't, you know, Benny and Naughton, you know, that straight swaps shouldn't make a huge difference in the game. You know, how many times have we seen, an average team come to White Hart Lane and they've got, you know, not only their best right or left back out, but also their second one, and they've got some third string in. You know, it doesn't make any difference. It's other players that should be making the difference. So, you know, I would have played Benny instead of Carl Norton, but, you know, we've seen Carl Norton, you know, he's not dreadful. You know, he's not a world beater, but he's a, you know, decent fullback. He's had some good games for us. So that really shouldn't be the difference, you know, but it's so funny with Tottenham. You do, you look at a side and you go, that's good, that's good, that's good. Oh, look at the right back situation. He's gone for the second choice. And then you know, you're like, you know, it's doom and gloom from there on in. And it's just so strange, that we can make these, you know, or AVB can make these little decisions, which obviously he does. You know, I don't know if it's got anything to do with Adebayor not even being on the bench, whether he's been told, you know, he's going to be sat out for this one, stay on the bench, and he's stormed off. You know, we know he's very good with friends with Benny because he came over and celebrated the other day with him. So I don't know if Benny's sort of, you know, kicked up a fuss or something, and Norton's possibly shown a better attitude. You know, we just don't know the ins and outs of that situation. It still shouldn't have made a difference. And then, like I say, a couple of old favourites come back in. Defoe came back in. He had his typical Spurs game, you know, typical poor Spurs game where, you know, he doesn't really get involved enough. And of what he did, you know, a lot of huff and puff. But, you know, the big problem with Defoe is his height. And that's not his fault. But he's not a target man. So when you're pushing on in the last 10 minutes and you do need to try it, mix it up a little bit and get the ball into the box, you know, he's useless for that. What he's brilliant with is another fella in there who can knock it down to him, which is, you know, why you've got to bring in Adebayor at that stage or some other big lump to sort of, you know, ruffle some feathers in there and create the space for Defoe. Huddleston coming back in, you know, I've criticised him massively, but last couple of games he's come in. And like I said to you the other week, that 20 minutes he had against Everton was his game. Trouble is, when he plays a full 90, he spreads that 20 minutes performance over the 90. And even on Saturday, he didn't actually do those Hollywood passes that we all know and love. I mean, he might have done a couple, but, you know, he's got to do that. That's what he's brilliant at. And I didn't. Every time I saw him with it, he passed it sideways or passed it backwards, pointing at other players. Again, you know, pointing, pass it there. No. Pass it to me, Tom. That's what you should be saying. You know, you're in there to do a job. And we really didn't create that many chances whatsoever. I have to say that, you know, we played Wigan at probably their best moment because every season for the last, what was it, 5 or 6 years, they always spruce up with about 4 games to go and managed to do it. However, they've got an FA Cup final this year. And who have they got 3 days after the FA Cup final? Blimmin' Arsenal at the Emirates. So, thanks for that. You know, a bit of luck for Arsenal there again.
That's typical, mate. You know, I think that's the frustration, you know, that I find, and I'm sure a lot of guys did as well. You know, we were going down to Wigan. You know, Spurs took about 5,000 fans, Steve, down to that game. You know, we had the whole one end behind the goal. And if anybody knows, you know, they're watching on TV or go to the games, you know, Wigan is definitely not an intimidating place. You know, it's not like going to Stoke or going away down to, say, West Brom, you know, where they're going to be packed in, they're going to be singing their songs, really up for it. You know, Spurs at 5,000 fans, that's all I could hear, you know, coming across, you know, on TV. But, you know, it's just so frustrating that, you know, player for player, you know, Wigan are not in the bottom three for the fun of it. They're down there for a reason. And we should have been able to go there and get a result. And I think, you know, coming back against Man City, playing so well in those last 15 minutes, I think we all thought, you know, look, this is it. You know, these players, they have to be sitting there in the changing room going like, you know, this is what a chance. We've got to go out and do this.
Yeah.
You know, Arsenal have got Man United the next day. We have got to go out. It's Wigan. We're far better players, better team. We're going to do this. And I just don't know whether is it a mindset of where they switch off thinking that it is going to be easy. And I always think about it. Why has it always happened? You know, it's different managers. You know, it happened with Redknapp. It's happened now with AVB. You know, is there just something around the club or, you know, what is it? I just can't put my finger on it, but it's so, so frustrating, mate.
Yeah. Where is the urgency? Where is the where is the player going, right, I've got to, you know, I'm going to take the ball by the horns here. You know, you see Dempsey having a few shots here and there, but you know, where is the Frank Lampard? You know, Frank Lampard has about 10 shots a game.
Yeah.
You know, where's our player in midfield going, I'm going to have about 10 shots today. You know, I'm going to get on that score sheet. You know, someone out of those midfielders, you know, if Parker wants to play in the World Cup next year, you know, you've got no chance at the moment, mate. You know, we're just, you know, I love the way you get stuck in and your passion and everything, but, you know, you've got to score a couple of goals. You know, and Dembele, you know, is a wonderful footballer, and we've said already what he needs to do, a few more shots. And Huddleston, you're back in the side. Here's your chance. I tell you what, Huddleston won't play the next game on that performance.
Funny, I thought today about Dembele, and I know the guy went off injured early in the second half, so, you know, possibly could have been a bit of a bearing on the result. But I really sort of thought about what kind of a season the guy's had. And yes, I think he's been excellent for us, but that guy has got so much potential that he's bound to be able to do just that bit more. He should be scoring more goals for us.
Yeah.
He should be creating more goals for us. I don't know, is that because he's playing with Parker and he's having to cover along with Parker that he can't get forward? But, you know, this guy, he's like a Yaya Touré. You know, he's got strength like Yaya Touré.
Mm.
You know, just go at these teams, and this guy should be doing a bit more for us. So, like, you know, fingers crossed he'll be back fit, you know, for the Southampton game on Saturday, and we can back to winning ways, because look, it's still in our hands, but you know, the problem is this game in hand is away to Chelsea, you know, next Wednesday night, and look, it's massive, absolutely massive.
Yeah.
But just disappointing, Steve, but it's just typical Spurs. But I want us all to try and get away from this mindset, oh, it's Spurs, and you know, and they do it every year, and you know, we need to get away. We're too good a team, too many good players to be like this.
Yeah, and you know, and let's make no bones about it. Arsenal, like we've already said, have got possibly the easiest run in I've ever known. You know, with Wigan playing three days after the FA Cup final, they're playing them. They've got QPR obviously this weekend, who I said last week might give them a game. Well, I don't think they will now, because after watching them against Reading, they are a dreadful side.
Yeah.
I mean, a load of individuals who just don't know each other's names, and you know, I think they're a dreadful side. I think Arsenal win that about 4-0. I think they'll turn over Wigan, no problem. And then they've got the worst side in the league, which is Newcastle, who you know, couldn't give a monkey's by the looks of it. You know, even if they are fighting for their lives in that last game of the season, I don't think they'll be up for it. I think they're, you know, all those French guys are, you know, and the English guys are on so much money. Yeah, I don't think they really are bothered. So, you know, very, very lucky for them. We've got potentially on paper some decent fixtures as well, with Southampton and Stoke and Sunderland, all games that we should get results from, although, you know, it is Spurs. But the big one is Chelsea, obviously, and we've got to go there and we've got to win, because a draw isn't good enough with Arsenal, because they're going to win their last three.
Yeah.
And I think that's not enough with Chelsea, because I think they'll probably win the rest of their games as well. You know, maybe not Man United, but I think the other ones they'll probably win, because they've got a blooming good side. You know, they could play a second string and still beat both sides, because they are good. You know, got good players.
That's it. Sorry, Steve. You know, because people are saying, oh, Chelsea, you know, they've got like five games in the next 2 weeks. You know, but they've got such a good squad, you know. And Benitez, no matter how much stick the guy's getting, he's using that squad. You know, Torres is playing, then if Demba Ba comes in, you know, they've Mata and Hazard and Oscar, then they change it round to bring Lampard in.
Yeah.
You know, they've got such, you know, Mikel, they've got such a strong squad. So, and you know, as Mickey Hazard and Graham Roberts said when they've been on our shows, you know, you want to play every week whenever you're winning. You just want to keep playing. And maybe it's not a bad thing for them that they're playing Thursday, they're playing Sunday, they're playing the Wednesday. As you know, as they said, they prefer to be doing that there than training. And they've got the depth in their squad. I think that shows what we're lacking. You know, you look at our bench, and we're looking at bringing on the likes of a Huddleston, or Jake Livermore, Tom Carroll, you know, Andres Townsend when he's there. You know, that's what we're looking at. You know, Benitez is looking over his shoulder going, oh, I'll bring on Demba Ba. I'll bring on Frank Lampard. I'll bring on John Terry.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Ramirez to show if things happened. Who's the guy they got from Wigan? Remy Moses. Not Remy Moses.
that's a blast from the past. Victor Moses.
Victor Moses. So, you know, so, and they're all playing well at the moment. But you're right. It is still in our hands. We've simply got to, you know, get that result at Chelsea. I didn't think it would come down to that, actually.
No, I didn't either.
I think we could have got away with that, but because of this Wigan result, it does come down to that game.
Again, that's another reason why I was so angry, Steve. I just knew a point wasn't enough against Wigan.
Yeah.
You know, even Fulham at home. If we look at Fulham at home, you know, since we beat Arsenal, the day we were there, Steve, we beat Arsenal, we were 7 points clear. You know, we've let that slip, and Arsenal are 2 points ahead of us. But, you know, we lost to Fulham at home, who then have been... Arsenal have had to go to Fulham, Chelsea have had to go, and they've just rolled over.
Mm.
You know, those two teams beat Fulham, and then we went to Wigan. You know, it's difficult. But look, as we say, it's in our hands. It might suit us going to Chelsea. Sometimes I think maybe it's a bit like Man City. You know, the players, you know, AVB come back, you just never know. But look, we'll try and put a positive spin on it at the end whenever we chat about Southampton and things. But, you know, it's. I'm just sick of saying that it's typical Spurs. I just want it to change. Give us some luck.
It's not all over yet. We'll get into it a little bit more in the second part. But let's have a poem from Davey Elder.
Okay.
Sometimes frustration can be slightly misunderstood, and sometimes it comes out unsupportive and wrong. But it's down to one good reason, as we want Spurs to be back where they belong. The Wigan game was such a huge disappointment, as a result didn't do us much good. But to be so close to sealing our own fate is something again we didn't do what we should. What we need to realise is that frustration can sometimes kick in, and the draw against relegation struggler Wigan is a game on paper most of us thought we would win. We are supporters, and that means we support all the way. We all want to be having a party at the Lane on the last Premiership day. Sometimes it would just be very pleasing to not do it in the typical Tottenham way. It would really be nice to banish this statement and not be frustrated at what other people say. You can't fault anyone's passion. You can't fault the anger that comes at the end. You can't fault a supporter for supporting. Frustration on Twitter is somewhat of a trend. So close but yet so far. Onlys, ifs, ands and buts. That team called Tottenham Hotspur really drives us all nuts. Still love them though. Come on, you Spurs.
Okay, and we are back. Well, great poem again there, Davey. Fantastic. And we've got a bit of fantasy football we need to catch up on, I believe.
Yeah, okay. We'll go into fantasy football. Again, it's a top 10 of people without scum players in their teams. A few boys still got scum players. So we'll go from number one is James Bird, James Wallace, the Spurs poet, Davey Elder, Jonathan Maloney, myself, Colin McKay in fifth, Mark Heritage, Billy Nicholson, Martin McDonough, Anthony Antel, and Kirk Fawtech. Most points this week is a guy called Ease George with 88 points. Hopefully I've pronounced that wrong. That was great points this week. Steve, you've dropped down to 55th place.
What?
You are nearly ready for me to read you out in the bottom six. That's how close you are. I can't believe it.
I thought I had picked a good side. I don't even know who I've got in my side. I'm sure I had players like Aguero. I mean, mind you, he's injured at the moment. But I thought I had some decent players. Okay. I'll have to do it properly next year. I'll definitely do it properly next year.
Definitely. And then just at the bottom, we've got Martin Oak, Lee Townsend, Jackie Hunter, Richard Thompson, and Thomas Wedge. But look, great fun. We have about 3 weeks left, guys. Keep going. There'll be a small prize for the winner, you know, which myself and Steve will get sorted out and get it off to you. We might even look at maybe getting a couple of people from the top 10 if they fancy coming on the show and maybe have a bit of banter about the Fantasy League team.
Yeah. I think next week, 1 week only, we'll read out the actual top 10. 1 week only.
1 week only, maybe.
1 week only.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, actually, last week there was about 5 out of the top 10 had scum players.
Dear
there was that. Actually only 2 guys this week. 2 guys that had scum players. So 8 out of that 10 are actually in the top 10. But
all right. Well, we'll read them all next week, but we will name and shame the ones with the Arsenal players in. So
definitely.
Be careful. Right. So Gareth Bale wins the Footballer of the Year, the PFA one. Actually, the Football Writers, I don't think has been done yet. But I'm not sure if Bale will win that. It might be Mata or Robin van Persie possibly. I don't think it'll be Suarez. It might be, you never know. Not all journalists are obviously from Liverpool. Bale winning it, fantastic. And Vertonghen getting in the team of the year. Good stuff with Spurs.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. You know, he's the only guy other, obviously Andy Gray back in 1977 won both, and Ronaldo. So look, you know, what an achievement for the guy. And look, he has been absolutely outstanding this season. You know, just not on a, you know, he's linked into the team. But Steve, some of the goals this guy scored has been world class. And, you know, what I thought about as well was how good is it for Tottenham that, you know, our best player is up on that stage and that's gone around the whole of Europe, worldwide. You know, and you're hoping that this then, you know, this guy can attract players to us. And that's why it's so important, you know, that we get into the Champions League and, you know, hold on to this guy. Because, you know, you can go to, I'm just throwing this name out, the likes of Falcao at Atletico Madrid. You know, you go to Falcao and you go, here, come to Spurs, best training ground in Europe. And also here, we've got Gareth Bale on our team. Why would you not want to come and play with Gareth Bale? We're building a new 50, 60,000 seater stadium. You know, this is what we've got to now start to use.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. I know I'm using Falcao, realistically, probably way out of depth because he's about 40 million. But, you know, even if you look at the likes of Ben Teke, who of Aston Villa, who I think's great.
Yeah.
And we chatted.
Or some of the top French
teams.
Some of the top French internationals, Lloris in goal, Vertonghen, you'll be playing with Lloris in goal, Vertonghen. Who Lloris, by the way, I think was unlucky not to get into that best side, because I think if he was a Man United player, he would have definitely been the goalie. You know, I think the goalkeeper of Man United is just
that's
a
lost
given.
Steve. Yeah, like I know we won't get someone like that. You know the guy like Falcao. You know, you're talking like about 40 million or something. But you know, what I'm trying to say is, you know, Bale's won this. Everybody knows him. He's a fantastic player. This is where we need to be attracting. You know, using Gareth Bale to say, look, you know, we're building a new stadium. We've got the best training facilities in Europe. You know, why would you not want to come to Spurs and play along with the likes of a Gareth Bale? You know, this is where we've got to use this guy to our advantage. But, like, we just have to wait and see. But it's also, like we have said loads of times, you know, why are we not going off and picking off the best players? You know, the likes of Ben Teke. I think Ben Teke has been fantastic. Surely we can go and get the likes of him. You know, I've always liked the likes of Kabay at Newcastle. You know, there's loads of those guys out there, Steve. And to me, that's the way we've got to move forward and do it.
Yeah, go and poach the best players like all the other teams do around us. Just do that. I mean, your man Suarez, he might be available in the summer.
Well, I've always said him. I heard actually a discussion today. I listened to a show about it, and I think he would be ideal for us, but whether you could tame a guy like that, I really don't know, and whether we would really want him at White Hart Lane, but still be a fantastic player for Spurs, and I personally wouldn't say no.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Just for my two pennies. I mean, obviously I'm a teacher, so, you know, I have to deal with incidents like this, and, you know, when you've got somebody who does something like this, so, you know, what we do at school is we say, you know, it's a bad thing that somebody's done. We don't say they're a bad person. Even though no matter how many times they do something that's wrong, or deemed wrong, in society or whatever, you know, you always say the actual thing that they've done is bad. But It's funny people having all these opinions. They kind of cater it for. They change their mind all the time. I always thought that if you do something wrong, as long as you don't do it again, then that, you might be all right. But if you do it wrong again, then obviously you need to, the punishment to be increased. Isn't that the way that society works? So you bite somebody once, you get 7-game ban. You bite them again, you get a 10-game ban. And if he does it again, it's 15. If you don't want to do it like that, that's fine. We'll do it a different way. We'll do it, each incident. If you bite someone, it's a mandatory 7-game ban or something. If you want to do it like that, that's fine. But I know, Chris Samara said it seems that they're banning the player rather than for the individual incident. Well, all right, if you want to do it on individual incident, that's absolutely fine. So every time Luis Suarez bites somebody, it's a automatic seven game ban, no extra ones. Or do you want to say, look, if you do it again, mate, you're going to get 12 games. And if you do it again, you're going to get 15. Stop doing it. Same for players, going in two-footed. Same for players headbutting somebody. If they do it, several times, then you've got the increase in punishment. I mean, I thought that was how you do things in society. But obviously, people are trying to cater more people trying to cater for the guy rather than. Taking it as a broad incident. I mean, people saying it's a witch hunt. No, a witch hunt is when you don't do something. So there is no such thing as witches. So people doing witch hunts was people trying to get old ladies into trouble. Here's my history coming out. And they never done anything wrong. Well, we all saw what Suarez did. So, he needs to be punished to set an example to the kids and what have you. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's all about the kids and entertainment and what have you. So if you bite somebody, then you should be punished. And he needs to hold his hands up and say, yeah. And if you support the guy, absolutely support him and say, he did a silly thing. And he needs it. You take it on the chin and then you move on. Isn't that the way that we want things? But, it's a witch hunt. Well, no, he actually did it. And then saying, he needs to be supported. Well, that's fair enough. But hang on a minute. Hasn't he done stuff like this before? So why hasn't he been supported? What are Liverpool waiting for? Liverpool as a football club should be, first thing that should have come out was not he needs anger management. They should have said, he's been doing anger management for the last 6 months. Oh, sorry, is it a massive surprise that all of a sudden he needs anger management? So that's what gets me, we have a similar situation in terms of where we Spurs fans want to support Gazza, and England fans want to support Gazza. But I wouldn't go to, somebody who's not an England fan or a Spurs fan and say, you need to support this guy. Because it's not, they might look at it in a different way. So why should we look at Suarez and say, poor old Suarez, let's help him out. No, he's a Liverpool player. That's for them to deal with. Why haven't they dealt with it before? And to say, he's come from Uruguay, so therefore, they've got different ways out there. I can guarantee you that if one of us goes to that little village where he's from in Uruguay and we say, listen, when you play football, are you allowed to bite each other? I'm quite sure that they'll say, no, we're not. Thanks very much. And I reckon even if you went to some jungle in Papua New Guinea where they actually still practice cannibalism, you'd say, you see them all playing football and that, and someone bites someone and say, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Not now. After the game, we'll all get a couple of humans and we'll have a big feast, but not while we're playing football. It's not in the rules. We don't do it while we're playing football. So, it's ridiculous, and we don't condone spitting, we don't condone biting, and all the other things that do cause more injuries, kicking and punching and things like that, of course that we don't like those either. So just to say he only bit him, he didn't headbutt him. Well, sorry, if he headbutted him, he'd equally get a massive ban, and if he did it again, you've got to increase that ban. To stop him blimmin' well do it again, and to discourage kids from it, because I don't know what those kids in Liverpool are doing in the parks, with their dads going, no, he should be supported, and what, they biting each other and they say, no, don't worry, Luis Suarez does it and we support him, mate.
Oh, Steve, how did you get on to a Luis Suarez rant? How did that happen?
You like him. You, I know. You want him at Spurs.
I do. I want him at Spurs. I reckon he'll win the league for us. You heard it here first.
He probably will.
Okay, mate. I'm going to do just a couple of quick shout-outs. I'll just have to do one for Davey Elder, for the Spurs poet. Davey's coming over for the last game of the season, the Sunderland game. And the day before, on Saturday the 18th of May, there's a John White Memorial match. And if anybody that's been listening to us for a long time know that we had John White's son, who is Rob White, on the show. He'd done a brilliant show with yourself, Steve, and Davey. And what it is, it's mainly made up of Scottish Spurs supporters. They're coming down. There's a few of the Fighting Cock lads as well from the Fighting Cock podcast.
Oh, the Fighting Cock, yeah, brilliant podcast. They keep nicking our ideas, though.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was my idea to have an inter podcast. Then they got that Crackers on from the
Crackers on.
That was my idea, and getting Bobby Davro on. They said it on their last show. That was my idea as well.
Don't you worry. We'll be getting those guys. We'll be getting the other guys on. But what they're doing, and lucky enough, Davey is going to be playing in this match as well, and it's against the Spurs legends. I think there's the likes of Darren Anderton and guys like that there's going to be playing. So, you know, Davey's going to be there representing, obviously, himself, the Spurs poet, and also the Hotspurs podcast, which Davey's part of as well. So, look, it's a game and it's a fundraiser for the Tottenham Tribute Trust. And I'll just give a shout-out where it is. It's a Colebrook Royals Seniors FC, and that's the Grange High Road in Chigwell, Essex. And it's IG7-6DP. And hopefully, if anybody is available on the Saturday, if they want to come down and see the watch the game and maybe meet the Spurs poet, go down and give them a shout out there, guys.
Yeah. And I'll just give a shout out to the Fighting Cock and to Tottenham Football Fancast, who gave us shout
out. The Andrew, yes.
I think they tried to say our podcast as quickly as they possibly could. And the Hotspurs podcast, they said it really quick. But they gave us a shout out, so there we go.
They did, guys. And we'll give yous as well. And yourself, Steve, you've been trying to organise something on Twitter, and hopefully maybe at the end of the season, you know, we can maybe get Flav and, you know, the likes of Andrew on, and, you know, we can all join up. But look,
I want to get Engineer Al on. He seems like
Engineer Al, yes. But the other thing is, you know, Martin Heiser's does great work, as everybody knows, on Twitter, and, you know, it's about support all your Spurs podcasts. And, you know, look, we're all Spurs fans, so we should definitely be giving each other, you know, a shout out. I love listening to them all, so that's where I come from. Look, another just quick shout out as well is to E Spurs Official. Their Twitter is at @E_SpursOfficial. What it is, these guys are looking for Spurs fans from all around the world that maybe want to go and write for them. And, you know, these guys are getting like 250,000 hits. And lucky enough for them, the Spurs poet has written some poems for them, and anybody that's on Twitter can go and find him there, and they can read, you know, Davey's poems. So, look, I wanted to give those guys a massive shout out. I know they're hopefully going to retweet the show and things for us as well. So brilliant. And one final one, Steve, this is more so for you. Hayden Gribble, who was on the show when we had our fan special, is coming to White Hart Lane, and he's going to be going to the Bell and Hare for the first time. And I was speaking to Dan Jones about it. I know Hayden is very, very excited about getting there, you know, so hopefully he can meet the likes of yourself and Big Kev, Dan, Martin, all the other guys that go. So, Hayden, we'll get Steve or anybody, you know, we'll get in touch with you and let you know what time. I think you guys are usually in the Bell and Hare around about 1:30.
Yeah, hopefully I can get there. It's been a bit hard the last few weeks. But hopefully I'll be able to get there. But if not, I'll probably see him in another game. Definitely the Southampton game on the last day of the season, if he's going to that.
Yeah.
Listen, how's Sunderland, I mean, how's the Southampton game going to go for you, Carl?
Right.
You tell me how you think it's going to go, and I'll tell you how it will go.
Okay, this is what I think. And I'm going to change my ways this Saturday. I know I've ranted about this guy before, but Phil Thompson, I don't like saying I hate people. I detest this guy. He does you guys probably don't realise that they go to the games every week. Every Saturday, he does Spurs. No matter, now, if Spurs are on a Sunday, he'll do someone else. But if Spurs are playing on Saturday at 3:00, Phil Thompson does them, and I just cannot stand the guy. So what I'm going to do this Saturday, if I turn on Soccer Special and he's doing Spurs Southampton, it's getting turned off. I'm either going to try and find it in the radio or I'll jump over to the BBC. So I'm going to change my luck that way. And I honestly believe we're going to go out. It's going to be tight. We'll maybe go in at half time, 1-0 up. I fancy us. We're going to win this game about 4-0. Really, really confidently. Have to go out and have a performance and get the result for us.
Oh dear, I don't know what podcast you've been listening to, but ridiculous. No. We're gonna be all up for it in the pub. We're gonna be really, really keen. We're gonna have virtually full strength side apart from the obvious injuries, and it's gonna be a lacklustre first half. Typical Tottenham lets us down. Oh, absolutely dreadful. We'll be there at half time in the gantry. Sort of going, oh, you know, what is going on? Same old Tottenham, might even be 1-0 down. But we're going to struggle, we're going to huff and puff, and in the end we'll get the result. But I tell you what, it won't be easy, and it will be a struggle. And the final goal, the winning goal will come in about the 86th or 87th minute or something like that, and it will be a massive, massive struggle. So that's what's actually going to happen. Unfortunately...
Well, we will see. Look, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to wear my Hotspurs
you
podcast
t-shirt. You think it will be comfortable?
Yes, I really do. I'm going to wear my Hotspurs podcast t-shirt. I put it on Facebook the other week. I wore it to Man United away. I wore it to Man United at White Hart Lane. I wore it to Arsenal at White Hart Lane. Now, I did wear it. I ran upstairs at 2:30 and I put it on. And I haven't watched it either. I thought, I'll keep the look in it. I put it on for Wigan. And I couldn't believe that we didn't. But we did equalise in the last minute. So still undefeated. It's going to be on me again. But the biggest thing for everybody to know, I'm not watching Soccer Saturday anymore on Sky. Phil Thompson, you can do whatever you want, mate. I'm away. I'm gone. So he's not going to scub me anymore. And that's the biggest thing, guys. And we're going to win 4-0.
Come on, you Spurs.
You heard it here first, mate. You heard it here first. Come on, Spurs. Now what can stop them? They got it.